We're very pleased to welcome to the show Browns offensive line coach George Warhop. George, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily.
It's great to be back.
All right. Well, we're at the phase of the offseason where you wear both the hats of a scout along with a coach, and coaches are in that personnel evaluation process for their particular positions. You were at the Senior Bowl a few weeks back in Mobile and helping there, looking at the prospects there, and you're going to the Combine next week in Indianapolis with the same idea in mind. And what I wanted to ask you first was, is there a general sort of list of qualities that you look for at all line positions, regardless of the specific spot in the line?
Yes, there's a common thread that I look for in guys. You know, all the guys have to have certain physical traits to play the various positions. But the number one thing you want to look at is, number one, is the guy competitive? You know, in competitive can go a couple different ways. You can have a raw bone, tough, nasty guy, which is what's preferred. But then you can also have a very good player who's very competitive and he's not just a nasty guy. So the bare minimum for me is the guy has to be a competitive player. So when I'm watching him on tape, I want to see him compete. I want to see him finish. I want to see him run downfield. I want to see him do things to extend plays and to help his team be successful.
Now, that nastiness we talk about, it's within the confines of obviously the rules. I mean, are you good with seeing a guy do some things that might draw flags or show? In other words, does the aggressiveness have to be within a certain parameter?
You don't want an idiot. I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, you don't want a guy that's going to cost your team or his team yards or potential plays. But you like a guy playing to the breath of the whistle. I mean, I want a guy going downfield and finishing stuff right at the whistle. I mean, our guy here, Sean Laval, is an example of that. Sean will play to the breath of the whistle. A couple of times he's gone over it, but he plays to the breath. And that's what you're looking for. And when he was coming out, that's what kind of player he was at Arizona State. So that's the first thing, is the guy competitive, all right? And then you want to see if he is pro-ready or not, okay? And that
what's that level
of play. So okay. There's certain guys you watch on tape, and you'll say, you know what, we can draft and play this guy. You can draft him. You know, you might make him work second team when he comes in, but you know first preseason game, he's a starter and he'll start and he'll be able to play, or he can come in and he'll be an immediate backup without much work. And that just really goes to the program he was in and the position coach that he had and how he prepared him. And then you look for upside with the positions. You know, can this guy get better? How fast will it, or how long will it take him to get to a position where he can help you? Then you get into the physical attributes of each position. So for me, it boils down to, is the guy a competitor? Is he pro-ready or not, versus how much work I have to do with him? You know, his physical traits. And then you get through all that stuff, then you want to know how smart he is. And that's where the rubber meets the road for us. You can have a guy who's extremely talented, but if he's not, doesn't have football intelligence, so to speak, not so much book smarts. We're not talking about a guy who's a 1,500 on the SAT.
Okay.
I'm talking about a guy who has good functional smarts, who has common sense, who's a conceptual thinker, and who can handle things on the field as things move around.
If you can give a specific example of what shows you football smarts in an O-lineman.
Just watching game tape, you know, there's situations that occur when defensive lineman slants inside. Where does his eyes go? How does he use his hands? What is he? Is he chasing the guy? Is he adjusting up to the next level? Is he going after the safety? Is he adjusting? Let's say they run some sort of a pressure and they're responsible for the Mike linebacker and the strong safety shows before the Mike. Is he going to bypass the safety to go to the Mike? Just simple stuff like that. You know, if the safety rolls down to the end of the line of scrimmage, if I'm a tackle, am I going to adjust the protection to go out and block the guy? You know, is it outside the rules? Can he think outside the rules? Those types of things. And that shows up. If you watch enough game tape on a particular player, those things will start showing up. When you interview him at the combine, those things start showing up. You know, when I talk to a guy at the combine, I'm going to say, hey, you know, draw up your favorite run. Take me through it. Okay, what if this guy comes down? How you handle that? What if this happens? What are you going to do? All right, talk to me about your favorite protection. Do you adjust it at all? Okay, are you looking at safety rotation? If the safety rotates down, how do you guys handle that? And that gives me a pretty good feel for how he's been coached and then how he looks at it and how his mind works. And that's the key for me. If he hasn't been coached to see it, but his mind sees it, and he can say, well, yeah, if that happens, he should become the Mike or he should become the Sam, then that tells me the guy has pretty good football intelligence.
Browns offensive line coach George Warhop joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When you a couple of things on – you said a lot there, and it's great stuff to kind of bore into, but let's first of all talk about the process. When did you start really looking at college tape of offensive linemen? About what month or so did that become – something you did?
I don't start looking at tape until the season's over.
Okay, so in January, final game Steelers, but not within days. Probably what, a couple of weeks after that, week after that, or so.
What happens is, maybe the next week. It depends on how much we have to get done. The way it works with us is we had the end of the season. We came in the week after the season.
Okay.
Did some cleanup work for the season,
reports on our players, evaluating our players.
Okay. Talking about their strengths, their weaknesses, the things we have to do for them to get better, for us to get better. A little bit of scheme evaluation, but not much. And then there's a little bit of dead time, in there. And then if you have time, then you start looking at some of the guys for the upcoming draft.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we get a week off. We come back from there. Now you do scheme evaluation in the morning, and then you do player evaluations in the afternoon. Now, first you do free agents, current NFL players that are upcoming free agents. So you evaluate those guys first. And then when you get done with those guys, you start looking at the guys that are in the draft.
Okay. And the personnel department gives you kind of the list, the short list. Right. You're not evaluating every single guy, obviously. They're giving you the ones that they've narrowed it down
to. Right. How it works is, we come in, they'll give me a list of 30 guys, let's say, that I have to evaluate, write up. From that 30, there might be anywhere from 6 to 10 guys they may ask me to go out and actually go to the workout or work them out. And then I'll come back and I'll ask for just random guys that fit a physical
prototype
for me. Give me all the guys that are, 6'5 plus and have a 34-inch reach. Or 6'3 plus and have a 32-inch reach. So you start looking at potential free agents, college free agents that have your physical minimums that you're looking for by position.
And of those 30, it would hit pretty much every spot. There are tackles, guards, and centers on this list.
Correct.
At least that's what they played in college. Are you also in the process of looking at them and saying this particular guy who played guard at this school very well should be a tackle in the NFL? Is that anything you offer a thought on?
Yes.
Or a center being a guard or
yes,
a guard?
Yes, correct. And it's more height than anything. I mean,
right.
When you start talking about position specifics, okay, for tackles, you want them to be a rangier guy. So 6'5 is really where you start looking. You like them to be 6'5 plus.
As the minimum?
As the minimum. And that really is not because of the height, it's because of the length. We want tackles to have 34-inch reach. That's where you like to start. There's some, that play at 33. Very few of them are 32. But if you get them at 34, 35-inch reach, that really is a benefit to them. Okay, so you're looking at height to get the reach. Now, there's some guys like, Willie Colon for Pittsburgh.
Right.
He's 6'2-ish, I think, 6'3. But he's got like a 34, 35-inch reach. So because he's shorter in stature, but he has a great reach, he can go out and play tackle and deal with those longer defensive ends. So you start looking at the tackles at about 6'5", okay, and you like them to be 320 or so. That's the ideal guy for me. I like a little bit more girth, but most guys coming out of college are going to be about 315, 312. And then you got to say, hey, can this guy get big enough to play right tackle? Because you want your right tackle to be a little bit meatier and bigger than your left tackle. Joe Thomas for us plays right around 315, 317. That's his weight. You like your right tackle to be 320, 325 because you're right-handed when you run the ball you're playing against a thicker defensive end, you're playing against the bigger defensive tackle, so you want a little bit more mass on that side of the line of scrimmage.
And you're not, even though, you know, one could say, okay, you got Joe Thomas, and if you're looking at tackles, you'd be looking at someone other than his spot, you'd be thinking more right tackle, but as you assign these guys or look at these guys, is that right-left thing a thought in it, or is it just NFL tackle and then figure out after that which side he'd play on?
Oh, no. you look at guys that are left tackles. I think
– where they could always be – I mean, even if they end up playing right.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, the evaluation starts if the guy can play left tackle.
Okay.
Okay. If he can play left tackle, he's a premium. And what I mean by that is he's athletic enough to keep up with the smaller, more athletic defensive ends. He has good range. You'll give up a little bit from a run standpoint for a left tackle. He doesn't have to be as gritty. It doesn't have to be as nasty per se. It doesn't have to be as thick. But he has to be competitive, and he has to be able to play on his feet, and he has to be able to use his hands and stay in front of guys. I mean, so that's where it starts.
Okay.
And then from there, you look at guys that are combination guys. You know, there's some guys that have come out that you look at and you say, he's a left tackle. They say, can he play right? Yeah, he can play right, but really at the end of the day, you don't want him as your right tackle. You want him as your left tackle because he can do all those things you want your left tackle to do really well, okay, but he's going to struggle on the right side because the mindset, the physical nature of the position doesn't suit him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several guys in the league that have been made to play right tackle that aren't. You know, they might have been better suited on the left side.
And when you're looking at tackles, because you have one of the very best in the game in Joe Thomas, that's a prototype for you. I mean, I know you're not going to probably find those guys are rare to find, but you certainly know what a great one looks like in your mental picture.
There's no question. I mean, I've been fortunate. I've been around some really good left tackles. You know, when we were in St. Louis. Let me think.
Orlando.
We had Orlando. We drafted him number one. And then we had a guy there named Wayne Gandy who was there when we got there from Auburn. And, you know, Wayne's a great example of a guy who was a left tackle who was made to play right tackle when we drafted Orlando.
Okay.
Okay. He could play right tackle, and he did a nice job at right tackle, but he is mentally a left tackle,
sure.
How he was made. And, you know, but he did it. He played right tackle until he left and went to New Orleans, and there he played left tackle for a long time.
Much more coming up with Browns offensive line coach George Warhop on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. We're back with Browns offensive line coach George Warhop. Look, you were talking about, you look at all that tape starting in a couple of weeks, say into January. And then by the time you get to, so a few weeks of that, you get to Mobile and you're there assessing in person these practices, watch them all week long, taking your notes from that.
Right.
Not having any conversations with anybody. That's the scouts are doing that, right? The coaches don't do it there.
On occasion, I might grab a guy after practice and just talk to him briefly, but nothing to the
extent that you're going to do next week in Indianapolis, right?
None of that, just touching base with him.
So what I'm leading to is you've watched the tape, you've watched the Senior Bowl practices with the seniors. Now you get to see all of the underclassmen, whoever's in the draft in Indianapolis among your list, and when you get them on that board and ask them to draw up, say, that favorite run and gauge their intelligence off of how they respond to those questions, Coach, I would imagine more times than not you're getting people who know how to explain, quote, their favorite play, but how often does it happen that a guy is clueless up there? I mean, does it really get that bad to where you have to say, wow?
it happens. There'll be two or three, four guys at every combine that all he knows is what he does. Which is fine. I mean, that's how they were coached in college, or that's all they could get. I want the guy who can explain to me all of it. So when he draws up a play, if he was the right tackle at Auburn, I want him to be able to tell me what they're doing across the front, center, guard, tight end, all of it, how the backs insert. So that's what I'm talking about. When I talk about football intelligence, I want the guy who can see the whole picture and tell me how it all fits together.
Okay.
There's a lot of guys that know what they do, and that's it. or them and the guy adjacent to them, and that's it. So, and that's more common than you think.
And in terms of you gave the general characteristics, and we've talked about tackle play, what needs to be there. I mean, you hear about waist bender versus knee bender. You hear about you talk about guards and that the toughness, the hand-to-hand combat that they have in that interior. How different is it then? And with centers, then I guess it's got to be that's really got to be your guy who knows the signal calling and that capacity, right? I mean, those are your basic criteria.
Right. As you look at it, we talked about tackles, a little taller, more rangy guys. When you start talking about guards, they can be tall. They can be 6'5", but you want thick guys. You want guys thick in the lowers. You still want long arms.
Yeah.
But you might get away with a guy with a 33-inch reach or 32-inch reach because everything's a little closer. But the key is they got to be stout. They got to be able to take on a bull rush. They got to be able to displace the line of scrimmage. And they are going to get hit in the face every snap. You know, tackles you play out there in space, it's not nearly as grueling. Guard, I mean, every snap somebody's smacking you upside the head. So your mindset has to be one of, you know, close combat.
Sure.
You know, it's a fist fight every snap inside.
And center?
Center is the same. I mean, center is very similar to guard. The difference between the center and the guard is this. More often than not, the center is always getting help. Okay? Rarely is a center by himself. Now, we're fortunate we have one that we can let him be by himself. Most people do not allow that to happen. They always have somebody helping the center out. So he doesn't have to be as dominant at the point of attack as a guard would. But you'd like him to be. Okay?
Okay.
The thing he has to be able to do is communicate and see the defense and get it out. You know, he's a guy that if you're looking in the back end to determine where the pressures are coming from, other than the quarterback, he's the guy that generally drives that and gives that information and passes it out to the rest of the group. So he has to be a sharp guy, and he has to be a communicator.
Will you, after the combine, feel you've got a good feel for this crop of 2012 linemen, or are you still going to be if because this is going to, you know, it's a position or an area that we know this team is going to look to address? Likely find yourself maybe taking off to an on-campus workout or two or three.
Well, the combine's interesting for offensive linemen. You can get an idea about athletic ability, but it gives you nothing in terms about how they play and how physical they are and how tough they are. So when you go to the combine, what you walk away with is you have a pretty good feel on intellect, okay, and you have a pretty good feel on athletic ability. The combine gives you nothing on how they play football, you know. So you got to come back and still look at the tape, grind the tape, and evaluate them from that standpoint. Now, you know, other positions, I think the combine is more valuable. Mm. You know, I think – and I'm not a secondary coach, so I'm outside of my lane, but corners are hard to evaluate. I think you might have a better feel seeing a corner do all the drills and change the direction and all that stuff in the ball drills because you see it there that you may not be able to see on tape. For us, the contact is at a minimum at the combine. So you don't see the guy under physical duress for 60 snaps and see how he's going to handle it.
Yeah, you're seeing speed and agility as much as, and that's it.
Right.
And you want those qualities. They're important qualities, but that sounds to me like a small part of the puzzle.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean.
Or the bench press. I'm sure the bench press, too, matters.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring up the bench press. You know, everybody gets caught up in the number. I like it for a guy to be competitive, in the range. I guess it's been averaging between 21 and 24 reps, somewhere in that range.
At 225.
I like for him to be in that range, but what I like to see is the guy compete when he's lifting. You know, not everybody's the strongest guy. Some guys that walk up there, they got 36-inch reach. I mean, it's going to be different for them than a guy that has a 32-inch reach.
Yeah.
So I just want to see them compete when they lift. You know,
sure.
When I get to 18 and 19, how am I fighting that weight to keep pushing it up? You know, can I go from 18 to 24 and I'm fighting those last six reps? That's what I want to see. I don't want to see the guy, as soon as it gets hard, puts the bar down. Mm-hmm. That guy, even if he does 30, so what? You're not competing. You gave up on it. So I want to see him compete.
See him try.
Right.
Yeah. This is a fascinating process, and I know it's just getting started for you and the rest of this Brown staff here, but we appreciate you taking the time to join us on this.
All righty. Is that it?
Well, we could probably keep you for another hour, actually, but I'm gonna let you off the hook now. He is George Warhop, the Browns offensive line coach, kind enough to stop by here and talk about what he's looking for at that critical position that he's helping to evaluate and will be with the rest of the Browns staff at the Combine next week in Indianapolis. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.